Hello, this is the Gospel according to a sitcom writer. My name is James Carey. This is the audio version of the book, The Gospel According to a Sitcom Writer. Here's the next chapter. Hope you like it. Another previously deleted parable, or Peter and the Parable of the Ten Bridesmaids. I love the film Labyrinth. I first saw it in 1987 and enjoyed showing it to my kids last year. One of my favourite parts is when Sarah, Jennifer Connelly, hits upon the idea of making marks on the ground to make sure she doesn't go round in circles, but when her back is turned, little goblins pick up the tiles she's marked and point them in different directions. Sneaky. This happens when I read the parables that Jesus tells. I sit and study a parable, working out what Jesus is clearly saying, only return later to see that suddenly everything is pointing in a different direction. You notice a detail you could have sworn wasn't there before. You look back at the context of the parable and it changes everything. There's a kicker that you've only just noticed. I had this experience recently with the parable of the talents, Matthew 25:14-30. A man goes on a journey and gives three servants different amounts of money. A talent is about 20 years' wages for a labourer. Shall we say £500,000 in today's money? He gives one worker five talents, one two talents, and one only a single talent. I had assumed, being well educated and born into one of the wealthiest nations in the world, that I was the five talents guy. At that moment, it dawned on me that maybe I wasn't the one with five talents, or the one talent. Maybe I'm the guy with two talents. I'm the one in the middle. Not a disaster, not remarkable, ordinary, average, below average even. Maybe I'm, well, not as talented as I thought I was. This obviously says more about me than the parable, but maybe that's the point. Parables mess with your head, or at least hold up a mirror and show you things you've had stuck in your teeth all day that no one pointed out. And then I realised that's a feature of parables, not a bug. Parabolical behaviour. What is the context for that parable of the talents? Just before is the parable of the ten bridesmaids, Matthew 25:1-13, or virgins. It's a parable I've always struggled with because the characters don't quite do and say what you might think. And to make the parable work, potentially unchristian behaviour is commended. But maybe the wise bridesmaids did the right thing after all. You'll see what I mean in this alternative version I wrote and placed on the lips of my usual fool guy, Peter, during his sending out of the 70 AD 28-29 tour. Early manuscripts do not include the following. Then Peter told them this parable. At that time, the King of Heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise and five were foolish, although they didn't know this at the time. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them, which was foolish. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps, which was wise. The bridegroom was a long time in coming because weddings take ages. So the bridesmaids waited, and there was a discussion about whether they were bridesmaids or virgins. One bridesmaid was quite insistent that bridesmaid was a better translation than virgin, so they stuck with that. When they realised they were discussing Bible translations, they became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him!" Then all the bridesmaids woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." The wise ones replied, "No." "Please," said the foolish ones. "No," replied the wise ones. "There may not be enough for both of us and you." "Yeah, we get that. We were thinking you might share," said the foolish ones. "No," replied the wise ones. "That's not very Christian," said the foolish ones. "What happened to the Good Samaritan? Going the extra mile?" "It's more like the parable of the shrewd manager," replied the wise ones. "Oh, let's not go there," said the foolish ones. "If you want oil," said the wise bridesmaids, "go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." "Oh, brilliant idea. Go to those who sell oil. How do you think of these things? Wait a minute. It's midnight. Who's going to sell oil at midnight to a woman in first century Judea?" "Not our problem," said the wise ones. "Unbelievable," said the foolish ones as they left. But while the foolish ones were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. "What time do you call this?" said the wise ones. "All right, virgins," said the bridegroom. "We're going with bridesmaids," they replied. "Anyway, it's past midnight. What on earth has been going on in there?" Oh, cut me some slack, said the bridegroom. It's my wedding day. Do you have any idea how long it takes to get the wedding pictures done 2,000 years before the camera is invented? I knew that going with a sculptor was a mistake. We've been sat there for 6 hours. He's only just finished the bottom of my legs. Anyway, you must be starving. Come in. And so the bridesmaids, who were ready, went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But the bridegroom replied, truly I tell you, I don't know you. Are you kidding me? Replied the bridesmaids. We've been up all day and half the night and had to schlep to a very dodgy service station on the other side of Jerusalem to buy oil. Open this door now. But he said again, truly I tell you, I don't know you. You don't know us? You invited us to your wedding. We're bridesmaids. Your insane wife chose these ridiculous dresses that make our arms look fat. And now we're freezing because it's gone midnight and someone won't let us go inside. I can't, said the bridegroom. It'll ruin the parable. Sorry, virgins. I mean, bridesmaids, although I don't know why you want to be called virgins because, oh, hello, Sally. I didn't know you were invited. Hashtag awkward. When he had finished saying these things, Peter turned to the disciple whom Jesus loved and said to him, there you go, John. You can have that. And John replied, you're all right, thanks. This is not the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hope you enjoyed that. Thanks for listening. If you want more of this sort of thing, why don't you consider getting Water Into Wine, my stand-up theology show. You can get a link to that in the show notes. See you next time. Cheerio.